Morning, everybody. I wonder if I could just get everybody, I'm going to take the, usually Don's moderator, I usually don't moderate, but I just had a sense in my spirit here today that we should, everybody get back up on their feet. And there's a little bit of a heaviness in here this morning. I'm not sure what it is, but as a Church of Jesus Christ, we can push through that. So I was going to maybe get the worship's band to do something, but why don't we just sing Joy to the World? And as we sing Joy to the World, I want you to, if you have joy in your heart, because not everybody's going to be at the same level there, but if you have a lot of joy in your heart, sing it out and press through this heaviness that's over the congregation today, and lift up your brother and sister, and let's push through this morning. This is a season where we're supposed to be carrying joy, and we have a lot of reasons to be thankful and to be joyful, even if we're struggling through a trial or something right now. So can somebody come up here and help me lead Joy to the World? Thank you. Okay, how about you start them off?
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive the King. Let every heart prepare his mood. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world. Sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Yay!
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Even the dog's joining in this morning. Okay, we have... quite a few announcements this morning, but I'll try to make it quick. Thank you, by the way, for joining in. So let's just let's keep that up here, that joy up here, throughout the rest of this service. Okay. So quite a few things happening in this little church. Thank you for whoever I just noticed this is new at the beginning. Thank you for ever put that up. I notice there's a little New Testament there. I actually got saved by reading a Gideon's Bible, just by reading the Word, 37 years ago. So thank you, Jesus. Somebody put that in there. And thank you for those that have put the nativity scene up, and I notice we've got a new desk out in the foyer when you come in. So here's some of the things that are coming up. The play, for the Christmas play, that's going to be at 7 o'clock, December 17th, a week from today. Actors show up at 4, so keep that in mind. Thank you for all those people that have been helping out with that. Appreciate that. Other announcements. We have Thursday this week coming up at Festival Hall is Lift Up Red Deer in Prayer. And I think for worship this week, is that right, Rob? We're going to be meeting at 5 this week? At 5 this week for worship, for those of you that are going to be helping with that. On the 23rd, there'll be a potluck at Standing Crystals at 4:30. So that'll be a great time. Thank you, Standing Crystal, for opening up your home. Yeah. Let's see, what else do we have here? Kara wanted to make an announcement about refreshments for Christmas here. For the Christmas play, I believe.
Morning, everyone. As Tim had already said, we've got the play next Sunday night, and I know Anita and Amanda and the ladies are really hoping that this is going to be a time for blessing people even outside of our congregation that are being invited to it. So we're having a time of refreshments after the play, and as I know that's been announced before, there's a sheet at the back of items that we would like to have for it. And there's still some spaces available. So I'll be standing at the back today after the service. If if you can help me out with something that's on it. And besides refreshments, there is also a need for me to have a few volunteers to come and help me and just set up the things on the tables and whatnot. So if you could help us out with that, that would be great, because we just want to bless everybody that comes next Sunday night. So, okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Kara. Normally we have prayer here at 6 o'clock on Sunday nights, but tonight we're going to have prayer down at the Renew, where we are restoring that building there that used to be Cowboys. And I was down there a little bit this week, and the guys have done an awful lot of work there. I was amazed at how much has been done, and they got all the windows out front. And so it's just for any of you that can make it out to pray, we want to pray over that building. We want to pray that God's blessing would be in that building. So anybody that wants to join us tonight at 6 o'clock, please join us for that. Just a couple other announcements that Alvin asked me to talk about, which this is kind of like looking ahead till next year for 2018. We're going to be trying to encourage the church to pray and fast, and we'll talk about that. I guess Alvin will talk about that a little bit more when that time comes. But if you could be thinking about praying and fasting and bringing in the new year, what God has for our church next year. And also, men's meetings are going to be starting on January the 12th, Friday at 6:45 at night. We had a good turnout at the last men's retreat. We had about 22 guys out there, and it was a good time. So I think we want to continue on with that and keep growing and moving forward. So thank you very much, and I'll pass it on to Stan here. Okay, thank you. Father, I just thank you for my friend and my pastor. I just thank you for him, Lord, and I just ask God that, that your peace would rest upon him today, Father God. And I just ask, Father God, that that we'd be attentive to the word that comes forth this morning, Father God, that we would we'd find a place in our hearts to see where the Holy Spirit is looking to each one of us to respond to him. Mm-hmm. So, Father, we just ask that today, Father God, that that your Spirit would continue to be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning. God is good. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're here to worship him. We're here to think about all the good things that he's done in our lives. We're here to give him glory and to acknowledge that he's the one who created us. He's the one who made us. And, you know, like Tim was saying, sometimes, you know, we come into this place, we bring a heaviness, or sometimes you come here and there just is a heaviness. But we have the power through the name of Jesus and through praise and through thanksgiving to change all of that. And that's what we've already started to do. We're going to continue to do that. There's a word of God I want to bring in a few moments. But one of the best ways that I find in my life when I'm going through a hard time, or when, you know, you're getting into sort of the doldrums or the darkest stuff, is you just start to be thankful. And it don't have to be long, long-winded things that you're thankful about. Just, I'm thankful, God, for my great wife. Or I'm thankful for the friends or for the freezer I have that has food in it. I'm thankful, God, for these sorts of things. And I'm just going to lead you in this in just a little bit, for just a little bit this morning. And I'm just going to invite you, again, short things, just one or two words. How can we break this and welcome the Holy Spirit into this place? Let's let the gratitude start to swell in our hearts. What are you thankful for today? A new home for Roxanne. Amen. That's good. We're going to stop right now, because I know one of the things we've got to do first here. And I'm sitting here playing my guitar, and I'm watching people walk into church, and here comes Tori and Ann, and look at this, guys. Wow. Look at this. Stand up. Stand up, Mom. Grandma. Oh, look at this. Now, if I guess, I'm going to say little boy, because I don't know. Yeah, he's a boy. I always guess boy, because that's all I ever knew. What a blessing. What a blessing. Congratulations. We just celebrate this with you. Thank you, God, for new life. Amen. Thank you, God, that this little boy is not crying right now, and it looks like I know what I'm doing. Thank you, Jesus, that you breathe and that you give us life and that you add another number to us. We give you praise today. You're doing well. Obviously, you know, I didn't expect to see you in church. I didn't know you had a baby until this morning. What's his name?
His name is Nash.
Nash? Yeah. Amen. Can we pray for Nash?
Yes.
Why don't you guys stand up? Maybe just a couple people just stand around them. Let's just stand together. God, Crystal, you want to come here? Just in case anything goes wrong. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for little Nash. We claim this little boy to be your own, God. We thank you, Lord, that even while he was being knitted in his mother's womb, you made him fearfully and wonderfully. And we declare that this little boy is going to know you and love you, and he's going to serve you. You have a ministry that you already have in mind for this little boy. I pray for Dad. I pray for Mom. God, give them the wisdom. Give them patience. Give them everything they need. Thank you for a wonderful grandma and for the joy of the Lord and the love of God that we see in her. Truly, God, you are good to us today. And we give you all glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You want to pray too? I'll stand close.
Oh, God, you are so good. This is just evidence of your goodness and your kindness. And God, we just praise your name for a new life.
Yes, God.
And I too pray for this couple, God, that you will give them the strength and the energy that they need, Lord, and that they will keep their eyes on you through the hard times, or there will be hard times, but they will keep their eyes on you. Jesus. Lord, we bless your name. Amen.
And all the people said, amen. Amen. All right. You won't be able to top that, but there's still other things we're thankful for. Lenny, what are you thankful for?
I'm thankful that Mom has sold her house and she's getting all her furniture sold, so everything's going smoothly, which is really uncanny because for my mother, for things to go smoothly, she's a difficult lady, but she's really sick too, right? So she's getting her house sold, getting everything
Praise
in order.
God.
So, and that's making her very happy, which is giving me a lot of joy.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Stand up, Russ. Say it again.
I thank God for my renewed health today.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. What are you thankful for, Darcy? For the reason for this season, which is Jesus. Amen? Thank you, God. Yeah. Marilise. Amen. Thank you for Jesus. Don, stand up loudly.
Not that I know everything, but when you're down and out, he's inside you.
Yep. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, guys. We're getting it. We're doing better. We're doing better. Yes.
Hi, I'm Maria.
Hey, Maria. Yeah. Hallelujah. Wow. Praise the Lord. Where is she? She's in New Brunswick. Wow. How many children do you have? Wow. Thank you, Lord. Let's give a big hand. Thank you, Jesus. Shout to the Lord. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are alive. You are my King. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His grace. Yeah. Good words. So some of us might be going through some storms. That's a good reminder. You're going to be brought through that storm. He has not abandoned you. He doesn't leave you. He's with you. Even right today, even though you might be going through something really tough, your God loves you. And we're going to hear more about that in a little bit. So, Kathy. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Thank you, God, for the stubbornness of Pastor Alvin. We can all say amen. Couple more. This is good, right? Yeah. Wow. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Is that just, Conrad, is that kind of recent? Something that you've heard lately or just Monday? Come on, stand up. We can't just let that go. Amen. Amen. Just stand with me. Put your hand in mine like this. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that you are a mighty God and that in Conrad's life they have declared that he is free from cancer. And we acknowledge that that comes from the hand of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we give you all the glory and praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's awesome. That is awesome news. Okay, I'm feeling better. I don't know about the rest of you. Yes, sir. I don't know your name.
I'm happy today that my wife is still alive. She suffered a heart attack.
Wow.
And I'm 43 today.
Okay. What's your name?
Harvey.
Harvey? Come here, Tim. We're just going to pray. What's your wife's name? She had a heart attack?
Sarah.
Okay, let me give you a hand. Give me your hand. Let's pray for Sarah and Harvey.
Where's your wife right now?
Okay. Thank you, Jesus.
Can you join in with us?
Yeah.
Pray for his wife.
Amen. For Sarah.
Thank you, Jesus. For Sarah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for Harvey, Lord. I just pray, Father, for your peace over him, Lord. I pray for your protection over his wife.
Mighty God.
Father, we just ask, Lord, that this heart attack that his wife's had, Lord, that she'd fully recover, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
That she would recover, Lord God.
Yep.
Recover at Christmas.
We speak
Father.
Health.
We speak health and healing to her, Father,
Mighty
in Jesus'
God.
Name. And we ask, God,
Mighty
that you'd strengthen our brother here, strengthen Harvey.
Yes.
In Jesus'
right
name.
Right now.
Thank you for bringing him here.
Amen.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Yeah, bless you.
Yep. Bless you. You know, Harvey, you're not here by accident. You're here because you need to be here, and because we need to hear that today about your wife, and that we can just pray for her. God is in this place. God is here. God is real. He's alive, right? He's alive. And all we're doing right now is we're just saying thank you, God. Thank you for all the things that you do for us. Thank you that even in the pain, you're there. Even in the hard things, you don't leave us. And as I'm about to open the word today, can we just all bow our heads and just pray that God's word would penetrate our hearts today. So thank you again, Lord Jesus. We are just so glad to be here. Thank you that we're part of a family that cares for us and that we can corporately today just say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for all the things, all the benefits, for little babies that are born and for healings that only can come from you. Even when the doctors say there's no hope, you remind us that there's great hope with you. Thank you for this time of the year when we remember the gift of Jesus and when we're reminded that this is really what Christmas is all about, is about Jesus and the gift that you, the Father, that you gave to us, your only Son. And as we listen to your word today, I pray, God, that I'll be clear that this will be your word and your truth that's spoken. And that as we end our service with ministering to each other, that we will feel the touch of the Father today. And I really believe, God, that you said that to me today, that you just want to touch us, that you just want us to feel your presence and your love, the amazing love of the Father for his sons and daughters. And so we just ask you, God, right now, just have your way. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, that you'll move in your power and in your grace and that we will know that this is authentic, that this comes from you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Most of you know that I've been doing a series on the Lamb of God, which is actually not a very good Christmas series. It's not an Advent series. It's probably a lot more like a series that you would do at Easter time. But I've just really felt that God has laid that on my heart, that we need to understand more about who Jesus is as the Lamb of God. You have to excuse me, I'm a little bit sick here today, so try to get close to me later and pray for me. We talked about how John declared that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away what? The sin of the world. Not sins. He takes away the sin of the world. He takes away the curse of sin. He takes away corporate sin. He takes away the condition. And we've talked about this now for a few weeks. He removes the condition of sin, and Jesus has done that by the sacrifice on the cross. And the last time we talked about, you know, the thorns. I don't know if you remember that or not, but how the curse back in Genesis 3, part of the curse back then because of sin is that we're going to have to work and deal with thorns and with thistles and have to work the ground, and it's going to be difficult. Childbearing, you can probably give an amen to this, Tori, but childbearing is going to be hard, we're told, because of sin, because we allowed sin, because we willfully, through Adam and Eve, we willfully disobeyed. All of these things are made much more difficult. But if you remember, we saw Jesus on the cross last time with the thorns, those very same thorns and thistles that were part of the curse and part of the condemnation, that he took that. He took that to the cross. Isn't that great? He took those thorns that were the curse that were over us. Jesus hung on the cross with those thorns on his head. And today I want to just kind of do a little bit of a teaching on the whole concept of the scapegoat, that the Lamb of God is actually a scapegoat. And we're going to, and I guess I'm kind of giving a little of a preface to this, because it's going to be something you're going to need to listen to a little bit today. In fact, I'm going to get a stand. I know I don't usually use a stand, but I also sometimes lose my Bible, and then I don't know where. I'm going to be referring to a number of different scriptures today. We want to talk today about how the Lamb of God, how is it that Jesus, the Lamb of God, removed sin? How does this happen? And part of the answer, at least, is that he became this scapegoat where all the sin of all people, all men and women of all the worlds, of all generations, laid upon Jesus, and he took that as the scapegoat. You know how it is? Maybe you don't, but sometimes you go to these sort of family restaurants, and sometimes when I go there, I like to order a milkshake. And one of the things I always like about the milkshakes you get from family restaurants is they bring you that sort of that aluminum thing, and then they pour it into your glass, and then they leave about this much more in the... Anyone had this before? Yeah, and you go, don't you dare take that thing away. You leave that 3 inches that are still in that aluminum cup because, you know, I want that extra. Well, today, just so you know, there's going to be an aluminum cup. There's going to be a little extra today, and I'm not going to charge for it. Okay, so you're going to get the normal milkshake, but there's also going to be a little more in the tin cup. But you're going to have to suck on the straw a little bit. Sometimes you're going to have to pay attention, or you're going to have to really listen to what this is about, okay? It's going to be worth it, is what I'm trying to say, okay? So the idea of a scapegoat is the idea that there's a goat that all the curses, all the evil, all the darkness, all the sin gets put upon this goat, and it's sent into the desert. Or in some other different cultures, it's killed. And the idea of a scapegoat is a biblical theme, but it is not solely a biblical theme. There are many other cultures that have the concept of a scapegoat. It's not just something that started in the Bible. It was something that would have been well known when the Old Testament, when the time of Moses and the time of Leviticus, when we read about the scapegoat. There were a lot of other, the Byzantine, the Romans, the Greeks, the Assyrians, they all had some form of this scapegoat motif, okay? The Romans, for example, when they lost battles, if they lost a battle, they would take a goat and they would lay their hands on the goat and they would send the goat off and have it killed, and that's how they would remove the curse of that lost battle. So it was sort of a common thing. And as a matter of fact, and I find this kind of interesting, if you look at how some of the, like Assyrians and the Greeks, and how some of the other people dealt with, it's sort of, there's some superstition that's tied to some of this, of course, but how they dealt with the scapegoat is sometimes they would put a purple robe on the scapegoat, and they would tie a ribbon around its horns, and then they would send it off into the desert. Jonah is an example of a scapegoat. He was in the boat. There was a big storm. You guys know the story, right? Someone has to be blamed for this storm. We're all going to die here. And Jonah becomes the one that they grab by the belt and they toss him into the sea, right? Because he is going to solve the problem. Here's how we get rid of the curse. Here's how we get saved. The only way we can get saved, someone has to be the scapegoat. So I'm just trying to start here today by saying this is a biblical motif, but I'm fascinated also with the fact that this is kind of a universal theme that comes out of a whole bunch of other cultures as well. And to me, it's especially interesting that a lot of these cultures would have used a goat, that they would have robed in purple and put a red ribbon on his head and then sent him off into the wilderness. Let's read now from Leviticus. I'm going to turn in Leviticus. Probably we have one of our best examples of what the scapegoat is in Leviticus chapter 16. And we're going to put it on the overhead if you don't have your Bibles. I want to read the story about how Aaron, the priest, was told how to put his hands on the scapegoat and how all the sins of the Israelite community was on that goat. So we're going to begin reading here. I'm going to begin reading in verse 6. We're going to do that one later, okay? Can we? Just stay on Leviticus. That would be one back. There we go. Okay, so from the Israelite community, he's talking to Aaron. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin offering and to make atonement for himself and his household. And then he is to take, now get this, listen carefully to this, take the two goats and to present them. So there's two goats. He is to present the two goats at the entrance of the tent of meeting. He is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it for a sin offering, but the goat chosen by lot as the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord and to be used for making atonement by sending it into the desert as a scapegoat. I'm just going to stop there. Later on, we're going to get back to Leviticus. But in some ways, I want to just paint a few pictures for you today. There's going to be three pictures. And the first picture is this picture. So you almost have to close your eyes or use your imaginations. And here's the imagination of what would happen back in Leviticus when the high priest Aaron would offer the scapegoat as a sacrifice for his people. There were actually two goats. There was a scapegoat that would be sent off in the desert. There was another goat that would be used as a sacrifice. So just imagine, picture that in your minds if you can. Here we have these two goats. One goat is chosen out of two to be the scapegoat for all the sins to be on. And that goat likely would be covered with a robe or the horns might have a ribbon or something scarlet in its hair. And they would throw lots. So they would cast lots. So somehow one of the two goats would be chosen to go out into the desert and the other would be slain. By the way, Jesus, we're going to get to this, but he's both, right? He's not only slain, he dies on the cross, but he also is the goat that carries all of our sins. But I want you to just kind of imagine this picture, the picture of these two goats and how one gets chosen out of two and how one in that Old Testament, in the theology of the Old Testament, is the whole concept of atonement, that all the sins of the community, all the evil, all the darkness, was literally put upon this goat, and the goat dies so that they can be clean and they can be free again. And I guess the second picture kind of makes sense, and you're probably already thinking about it, but, I mean, isn't this such an obvious connection to Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? You know, we think about him hanging on the cross. We think about the purple robe. We think about the crown and the red and the ribbon of blood. We think about, but it even goes beyond that. Think about earlier when Jesus Christ is standing before the governor and the people are crying out, crucify him, crucify him. And the governor says, no, how about Barabbas? Let's get rid of Barabbas. Barabbas is way worse than Jesus. And the crowd says, no, crucify him. Let Barabbas go free. And like probably you know or we've heard before, Jesus Christ, on the one hand, and there's the name for Barabbas. He was Jesus as well. Jesus Barabbas. That there was a choice that needed to be made at that moment, at that time. And the name Barabbas means bar, Abbas. son of the Father. Barabbas, was his name meant son of the Father. Jesus Christ, literally the son of the Father. And Jesus Christ is chosen. You see the two goats? Jesus Christ is chosen by the Father. There are lots that are thrown in this drama. Jesus Christ is chosen by the Father to bear the sin of the world, to hang on the cross, to take upon himself all the things that you and I and all people have ever done, to take them upon himself and to put them to death. And I think it's maybe hard to picture and imagine some of this, but it's helpful to do this. So, you know, we need to see the connection between what we read there in Leviticus, the scapegoat, and understand that that's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. And it's called the atonement. It's called the substitutionary atonement. That's a pretty good theological word. Substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ. He took my place on the cross. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You should be able to say amen when you hear that. He took my place on the cross. He died for me. He was substituted instead of me. He paid the sins that I should have paid for. The debt that I could never, ever pay myself. Jesus paid it for me. Right? And that's what the atonement is. And that's what we believe. And this really is, and I know this is not much of a Christmas message. And yet it is, because Christmas really doesn't mean anything unless we understand the cross. And if we get stuck with just the manger, and we look at the manger, and people do this all the time. I mean, the whole world is enamored by the manger. We love Christmas. We love the gifts. We love everything that goes with it. But if we don't see the cross, then we don't see the purpose for the manger in the first place. And what I'm telling you today is, according to the truth of God's word, what is central for us to understand is that Christ is our atoning sacrifice. Amen? He died. He bore our sins. He took it all upon himself. He did it as the Lamb of God. So this is the message today. The Lamb who becomes the goat. The Lamb becomes the goat. And there's a lot of scriptures that talk about that. Some of them I've mentioned to you before. 2 Corinthians 5. And we're going to get to Isaiah. But in 2 Corinthians 5, we've been looking at this a number of times. It says there that God made him who had no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen? God made him to be sin. All of my sin, all of our sin was laid upon him so that we could become the righteousness of God. And in 2 Peter, here's another one, 1 Peter, I should say. 1 Peter chapter 24. It says, or verse 24, there's no 24th chapter, that he himself, talking about Jesus, he bore our sins in his body on the tree. Did you hear that? Maybe, you know, you wonder, well, what goes on with our sins? What happens to them? He bore my sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. For by his wounds we have been healed. Amen? Yeah, amen. You can clap. Say, thank you, Lord. There are a lot of passages that talk about this, and I'm not going to go through a lot. I'm going to do one more. We're going to look at that Isaiah passage real quickly here. But we just need to understand today, because this is such the heart of the Christian message. Here's why we have hope. Here's why we can tell people that it's so important to turn to Christ. Because I'm no longer cursed by my sin. I'm no longer even responsible for it because I've turned it over to Jesus. I mean, there's still consequences to my sin, and I still live in a broken world, but Jesus Christ has taken my sin. He's taken it upon himself. He's become the scapegoat so that all of our sins can be covered. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look at Isaiah 53. Just a couple verses in Isaiah 53 where now we're considered to be sheep. He says, for all... You got that? Isaiah 53, you just had it on there. There you go. He was pierced for our transgressions. Jesus was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Here's the part I just want to focus on for a couple minutes. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord, that means that's Jehovah, Yahweh, and Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Just let me just share a couple thoughts on this, all right? First of all, it says we all. Stop right there. We all are like sheep, all of us. Every one of us has gone our own way. There is nobody here who is not a sinner or who has not sinned. And if there is someone who stands up today and says, well, I've never sinned, you just lied. So then now you are, right? We're all guilty of this. We all stumble in different ways. And if we look back at our lives and we're honest, we go, yeah, there are times when I sure could have done that better. We all fall short of the glory of God, Paul says in Romans, right? Everyone has sinned. Everyone has sinned. And what that ought to do for us is it ought to give us a compassion for each other, but this doesn't always happen. We ought to show more mercy for each other if we understand that, you know what, we're all sinners. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. And instead of just pointing out your sin or your sin or your sin, which just stands out to me, you know, we should be showing more mercy for each other, saying, you know what, I'm a sinner too. We're all in the same boat here, and the boat is sinking, and we are done for without Jesus. So what ought to come from this understanding that we are all sinners is that our hearts of mercy and grace should be growing and going, you know, some people, you know, they're no different than I am. We have all fallen short, right? All of us. All of us are sheep. It doesn't say, hey, guess what? Some of you are sheep and some of you aren't. No, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. And I like the way that's described, actually, that we've gone astray, because in my life, that's kind of what it's felt like when sin has taken over. It's felt like going astray. It's like, maybe you guys relate to this, but you wake up one morning and you go, where am I? What has happened? And how did I ever end up here? Anyone have that before? Yeah. Right? Well, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one. To me, that is sort of the questions that come from astray. The question is, you know, how did I get here? How did I get so lost? How did I get so lost? And what Isaiah says, and again, these are words hundreds of years, almost 700 years before Jesus even came to the earth. Isaiah said, you know, that's what we're all like. We all go astray. We all wake up one morning and we go, well, how in the world did this happen to me? How did this happen that I ended up here? All of us have gone astray. Sheep, I had a sheep once, and it had two lambs. Sheep are not known because they're particularly bright. In fact, they're very unbright. They are not the brightest animal. I only had one sheep once. It choked themself. I'm not kidding. Like, and a sheep will lay. I'm not going to tell you the whole story because it says a little bit about how badly I take care of sheep as well. But we had a sheep once. It ended up, it had two lambs. My wife had to raise the lambs. The sheep died. A sheep will lay on a hill and die because it can't get up sometimes. Sheep are not, you know, this is not a compliment, folks. When the Word of God says we are all like sheep, this is not a compliment. Sheep have wool for brains. That is a proven fact. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. And that's you and me, right? And I like the next thing and how, because I relate to this. He goes, and we've all gone our own way. And that word literally in the Hebrew is, we've all found our own road. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. And isn't that how it works? You've got your way, I've got my way. Your way may not be my way. You know, there's problems I have that you may not have. There may be weaknesses in my life. You don't have those weaknesses. There's things in your life that would not be a temptation for me at all. The bait that the enemy might use on you, and it might be effective in your life, it might have no effect on me at all. Right? I haven't had a drink of alcohol for like 20 years, 30 years. I don't know. I quit drinking alcohol a long time ago, and I've never been drunk in my life. Alcohol's never had a grip in my life. I know there's some of you, that's not true for you. Alcohol has had a grip on you, but it was never, Lee, shh, come on, give me a break, okay? Just quiet down. I know. Thank you. Okay. Just be quiet, all right? That's all I'm asking. Okay. I know you're back. We're glad you're back. We're really glad. Okay. Okay, Lee, look at me now. Now quiet, okay? All right. The point I'm trying to make is, you know, alcohol was never really a problem for me, but other things were. We all go our own way. There's a way where I'm led into temptation if I allow myself to go down that road. And we all have experienced that before. But your way might not be the same as my way. It's kind of like fishing. The enemy fishes, I think, to try to lure us and to drag us away from the arms of our Father. And it's like, you know, you go fishing for flounder, you don't fly fish for flounder or halibut. You do not fly fish for halibut. You fly fish for trout. You jig for halibut. You don't jig for trout. You get what I'm saying? Satan knows whether he needs to jig or fly fish, and he knows where my weaknesses are. He knows where your weaknesses are, right? We all go our own way when we sin. We willfully choose to go down a road that we should not be going down. And all of this is true, but it also all leads us to really, really good news, that even though we are sinners, and even when we were sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? Can you give a hand for that? And so, in a real big way, it doesn't really matter how you've gone astray. It doesn't matter what road you've been on. It doesn't matter what your past is like. It doesn't matter what your history has been, because Jehovah has laid upon him, upon Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And this is the best news I could ever tell you. Your sins are covered. Your sins are forgiven because Jesus died, and all of our unrighteousness was laid on him so that we could be declared righteous. You are righteous if you have come to Christ, if you have invited him into your life, if you've surrendered to him, you are righteous, and your sins are no longer held against you, and that's a real good reason to say, thank you, Lord. We shout to you, God. Hallelujah. Amen. And Jesus, the Lamb of God, there's a lot of things. Man, I don't even know where to stop here. I'm going to give you sort of a bam, bam, give you as much of it as I can give you. I'm going to feed you as much as you can swallow. But, you know, Jesus, he voluntarily gave his life. No one made him do this. He went to the cross as a willing Lamb of God. He said, okay, I will take this. I will be the scapegoat. I will bear their sins. Thank you, Jesus. I'm amazed that he volunteered his life, that no one took it from him. And I'm also amazed in this passage that there are no excuses that were made for the sheep. It says we've gone astray. We've each gone our own way. We've chosen the roads. We all like sheep. It doesn't say, but you know, she had a tough life, or she didn't have a father figure, or he was raised in a home with alcoholics, and alcoholism was a raging thing. There's no excuses here. You read it anywhere. There's no words, but there's no buts. We just own this. We own that we have fallen. We own that we are like sheep and that sometimes we've gone astray. And in here, it doesn't say that there's any way out of this other than Jesus. And we got to stop making excuses and stop making ourselves to be victims. We really do. Because the only answer, the only really good news is that Jesus has taken it all for us. Yes. Jesus Christ has taken away my sin. So now I want to go back to Leviticus. Can we go back to Leviticus? Back to Leviticus 16. Because we read part of it. We read about the scapegoat, but there's a part of it we got to end on here today. Leviticus 16, verse 20. Just listen to these words and let this become the third picture. I want you to just picture what happens here. It says this. When Aaron has finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting in the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. Now get this. He shall bring forward the live goat. And he is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all of their sins, and put them on the goat's head. And he shall send the goat away into the desert in the care of a man appointed for the task. Can you imagine that? Can you picture it? I know that this isn't much of a Christmas story today. But what's been on my heart all week is the story of Jesus in the garden. Jesus suffering in the garden. Jesus going through the utmost pain and agony that we can't even begin to understand. I'm thinking about how Jesus was there on his knees praying for the Father to not allow him to do this, you know, kind of begging, saying, "Father, please, come on. I don't want to do this. I don't want to take this road to the cross." That's what I've been thinking about all week. As I think about the Lamb, I've been preparing for this today. I have all in front of me is this picture of Jesus before his Father, and he is in Luke, I believe it's Luke, says that he's actually sweating drops of blood because of the intense agony that we really don't understand, right? I'm just seeing Jesus crying out to the Father and saying, "Father, take this cup from me because I don't want to go to the cross." In fact, and this is pretty telling, but it's in Matthew that it says this, that Jesus, he went with his disciples to Gethsemane. He said, "Sit here while I go there and pray." And it says this, he said, "And then Jesus began to be sorrowful and troubled, and he said to them, 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death.'" Wow. We see the utter humanity of the Lamb of God. He says, "My soul is sorrow to the point of death." This is Jesus. Jesus, you know, he's the Son of God. Jesus was there at the creation of the world. But can you imagine the agony and the pain and the struggle and what it was like to bear the sin of every single human being who ever lived? I don't know about you, but in my life, there have been times I've had to bear my own sin. Have you ever had that where, you know, you've done something incredibly foolish and you go, "I don't know how to carry this"? Anyone had that? I don't know how to carry this. I don't know how this is possible. I don't know how to get rid of this. I've had this in my life before. That's only one sin. If you've ever experienced the weight of sin in your life, and sometimes, thank God, the weight of sin convicts us and calls us back to the Father and calls us back to a right relationship. But I'm just saying today, that's only one sin. That's one foolish act and all the regret and all the shame that comes of that. Now imagine that Jesus was bearing the weight of every sin that ever happened at every time on himself when he hung on the cross and when he was in the garden. Can you imagine the weight of sin? The weight of sin. You know what it's like to carry one sin or maybe a few sins. What was it like for Jesus to carry the sin of the world? And I'm imagining today, and I'm seeing that picture of Jesus on his knees, and his disciples keep falling asleep. His best friends can't pray. They're not there to pray. They're there to sleep. He goes three times. They just keep falling asleep. And Jesus is utterly alone. He is on his own, and he's carrying this weight, and he knows what's going to happen in the morning. You know what? There's a part of this story that never really gets told. There isn't one gospel writer who tells this part of the story. And it is maybe because it's too horrible to tell. There's a part of this story, we get a lot of the gruesome stuff, we get the blood, we get the gore, we get some of it, but there's a part of it that isn't described by anyone. And yet we know it to be true. There's a part of this story that we almost don't dare to speak because it's too awful. It's just too much. And it is this part of the story that I want to end with today. It is the part of the story, and again, we don't see it in any of the Gospels. It's a part of the story where the Father lays both hands on the head of the live goat. And he confesses the sins, the transgressions, and the rebellion of all of Israel. When the Father, just before he leaves the room, just before he leaves his Son completely and utterly and essentially alone, he lays his hands on the live goat and he confesses. He confesses the rebellion and the disobedience of you and me. He is the Lamb of God. He takes away the sin of the world. I really believe today, you know, that shows us the love. For me, this is how I begin to understand the depth of the love of God. The amazing, you know, love of God. What does John say, right? That we, you know, we could be called the children of God. How's the first part of that go, Chuck? How great is the Father's love for us? Come on, Chuck, I brought you in here from, he's from Victory. He's a pastor. He's supposed to know these things. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God, right? You know that one. Yeah, it's in there, honest, right? He's lavished his love upon us, right? We should be called the children of God. This shows you the love of God, that the Father would lay his hands on his Son and impute our unrighteousness on him. I have no words, and there's nothing more that we can say. But you got to know this today, that God loves you. He loves you so much, and it is my firm belief that God was saying to me this week, all I want to do today is I just want to rest my hands on my children, my daughter. I just want my hands on her. I want you to know I love you, that I no longer condemn you, that I've laid my hands of condemnation and of judgment one time and one time for all on my Son, but they do not rest on you. Now my hands rest on you to bless you. To bless you. Amen. You know, without Christ, if we have not turned to Jesus, we live under a curse. The curse remains. I don't know how much time I got, but I just got to tell you this. It's been such a struggle downtown lately. There's a whole new influx of young kids, and I'm talking about kids that are 14, 15, 17, 18, and they're hanging around in a group of 12 or 15 of them, and they're doing drugs all the time, and some of them are dying, and they're coming to the kitchen, and they're upstairs doing, they're laying all over the place, and we're dealing with this, and sometimes, to be honest with you, I get frustrated, and I'm not always showing the love that I think God wants me to show. But one thing that really hit me this week, as I've been dealing with this, trying to find an answer, trying to find the source of some of this stuff, is that, you know, these people, they are living still with a curse in their lives. There's a huge curse. If you're addicted, yeah, they don't know. You're right, Lenny. If they don't know Jesus, they're living with this curse. They're living in a way that they don't need to live. And many of us know that there can be freedom from that. But it helps me to understand that they're still living with that curse. They're cursed. And maybe you're here today and you've thought that. You thought, you know, I feel like I'm cursed. Someone told me that the other day. They said, I know I'm not actually cursed, he said. But I feel like I am. I have bad luck, is what he was saying. I'm not actually cursed. You know, I don't believe I could actually be cursed. But I feel like I'm cursed. And I didn't say this to him, but I wish I would have, and I would now. I want to tell him, you know what? Buddy, you are actually cursed. You are actually cursed. This feeling you have of being cursed is not just a feeling. You are cursed unless you've turn to Jesus, and unless he's taken that curse away. And here's the big difference. Here's what we've got. Right? Here's what we have as believers. I no longer live under the curse of my sin and my condemnation. I no longer do. I don't live under that curse. I am not cursed. And yeah, we got to deal with people who are. But man, what good news this is. What good news. Just one more verse and then I'm going to end up. But here, look at this. The end of John 3, the Gospel of John, verse 3. It says this. The Father, last verse, the Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for the wrath remains. The wrath of God remains on him. I want you to know today, the most important thing I ever learned in my life is that God loves me. I want you to know that for yourself. God loves you. He loves you so much. And through Jesus Christ, he has removed the wrath of God. There is no wrath anymore. There's just love. For anyone, it says here, who has received or has turned to Jesus. Amen. This morning at 8:24, I'm sitting on the couch and Crystal's in her quiet room and I usually listen to some music as I get ready for this. Then a song came on I'd never heard before. But I knew as I heard it, I needed to play it again and I played it a couple times. This is exactly the message. So I want you to hear this song. It's about the Lamb of God. So I'm just going to ask you to just quiet your hearts and watch. And there's people worshiping. And I know there's sometimes people don't like that. They don't want to. To me, I love watching people worship. I find it compelling and authentic. I think it just shows that it's genuine. But just close your eyes if it bothers you that there's people worshiping. Listen to this song. Listen to what the meaning of it is, that Jesus Christ is the Lamb. And the Lamb has taken away our sin. And then, after this song, I've asked a few people to stand right here. And for those of us who want to walk through this aisle and just receive a blessing, maybe it's just a touch of the Father on your head. Maybe it's a healing or a prayer that you need. You want someone to pray for you. We want to make this available today. And it's not weird. It's just God saying today, man, Joyce, I love you. You're my daughter. You couldn't do anything wrong because I took all the wrong away. All right? So play it, all right? Let's just turn the, you got it? Someone want to just turn the, thank you. The lights is a hard word for me. I don't know why, but watch this.
On a shameful day he died, in the sorrow of defeat. But forgiveness was his cry, as his blood ran down for me. How the Father's heart was torn as his only Son was slain, but the earth would soon rejoice from the place where hope was laid.
Sing this, church.
For the Lamb has overcome, everlasting love has won. In eternal praise we will lift him up. For the Lamb has overcome the world. by His Spirit we are raised to the fullness of new life. In a moment we'll be changed and forever
Lamb has overcome. And that is the best news that any of us is ever going to hear. I want to invite you, some people are going to join us for prayer. I've asked them to come and just keep playing this, okay? And play it again when we're done. We want to give you the opportunity today to feel the touch of the Father. He wants to lay His hands on your head and tell you that He loves you and that you are His child. And that He's overcome. Amen? But I know that some of you may need to leave, and no one is leaving today without this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Why don't you guys come and stand, and we're going to walk through the middle here. Anyone who wants for just a touch from God, we want to be able to do that for you today. Come on in here. Back, and just, if you need prayer, here's a great opportunity. Just express what you need is, all right? Thank you, Lord. think more people need prayer. If you can just help me with this, or us, can you come and pray over here while people come out?
On a shameful day he died.
Thank you, God.
In the sorrow of
deep. God loves you, Dave.
But forgiveness was his cry as his blood ran down for me. How the Father's heart was torn as his only Son was slain. The earth would soon rejoice from the place where hope was laid. Sing this, church. For the Lamb lies overcome, everlasting love has won. Eternal praise. unashamed.